Hello, welcome to 7 Stars, 7 Siblings, and 1 White Tree. Thank you for joining us for a podcast this month. We're going to be talking about food throughout movies and the books due to Thanksgiving coming up, even though, well, Loring's ran in Britain, but we're American, so, you know, we talk about American things. So, thank you for joining
America.
Us. America.
Yeah, well, and also, we're recording this podcast before Thanksgiving. Who knows when it'll come out, hopefully before Christmas, and we'll still be eating food around Christmas, but not with our families because there's a plague. Well, anyway, so I'm going to start off talking about one aspect of food in Lord of the Rings. You know, food and drink come up a lot in the books. I've been listening to them every night, and I'm just amazed, you know, that I feel like Tolkien's kind of unique in that a lot of like fantasy authors maybe don't even bother to tell you, oh yeah, the characters did drink and eat, but Tolkien reminds you that people do need to eat and drink periodically. One of the first
having hobbits as the main characters really makes food an important part.
People always are like picking on like they don't wash their hands and they don't, you know. I'm like, when do people do this during journeys? I'm like, we're talking about the meeting, you know. Yeah.
Can't go looking for clean water.
Yeah, I mean, well, consider the time, like the time period that the books are set in. I mean, as far as like comparative time periods, people don't wash their hands real well, so I don't really know why. And there are lots of plagues. I'm not sure what our excuse is, but wash your hands, people. All right. So anyway, one of the first foods that comes up in Lord of the Rings is the Hobbit's love of mushrooms. Well, of course, there's the party, and it's snowed food and rain drink, and that's great. But, you know, the mushrooms, I am one of those people that I always wanted to like mushrooms because the hobbits like mushrooms. And they make them sound so good in the Farmer Maggot scene where, like, Frodo opens up the picnic basket and there's these roasted mushrooms and he's just so happy and they smell so great. And I always wanted to like them. I think, like, the first meal that Chelsea cooked for me when we were dating, she made, like, these big portobello mushrooms and roasted them up and everything. And I've, like, at all moments in my life, I would have felt like that was the one that I would have liked the mushrooms, and I don't. Now, Chelsea will go out of her way to cut up mushrooms and put them in my food, and I don't often notice. So I've discovered that I don't necessarily dislike the taste of mushrooms so much as the texture. Although, if I ever catch
I support
the taste,
that.
It's not...
Oh, my gosh.
As resident picky eater, mushroom. I support that.
I'm sorry, I was just eating mushrooms this week, and I was like, I love the texture of mushrooms. It's like eating a pillow, you know, you just kind of eat it, and it squishes in your teeth, and I'm like, it tastes so good. I was like,
the resident picky eaters say no.
Thank you, Eden. But no, I was thinking most of these siblings here would hate mushrooms, but Noelle and I like them a lot. This is for me.
I actually haven't had one.
You don't like them, Sarah?
I haven't tried them, so I can't say I don't like
them. Hey, as resident pickiest eater here, I have also convinced myself to like mushrooms because of the Lord of the Rings.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, but I was going to say, I just like the flavor. It's so earthy. It's kind of like eating dirt, but in, like, a good way.
That's true, though. That's true. Maybe that's why I like the Hobbit.
Anyway.
I mean, I feel like it must be
a good way to eat dirt.
Speaking of eating dirt. And having to make your food along the way out in the middle of nowhere, one of our favorite chapters that we discussed having to do with food is, of course, Of Herbs and Stewed Rabbit. Honestly, a lot of us, I think, almost brought this up for a favorite chapter in general. It's definitely my second or third favorite chapter, mainly for the dialogue, but certainly there's a lot to discuss as far as food is concerned. Quincy, I know you had some thoughts on that.
Well, I was just briefly going to note that this past week I was listening to the chapter, and I was reminded of my numerous struggles to get my toddler to eat as I heard Sam talking to Gollum about what he should like to eat. And he's like, potatoes. And Gollum's like, nasty tater, damn. He's like, stewed rabbit. He's like, no, give it to me raw. And that's what I'm reminded of in trying to feed my son, who, you know, you'll be like, you know, Chelsea, I'll make something nice for him, like, oh, these stewed carrots and potatoes. And he's like, yeah. But if he goes outside, he'll eat a stick of dirt.
He just wants mushrooms, Quincy. He's a hot.
And we're back on eating dirt.
I guarantee he won't eat mushrooms. He doesn't like vegetables. But yeah, if it was raw, I don't know. No, and it's hard to tell though. Like if he had a raw and wriggling rabbit, he'd eat it. Maybe, I don't know. But anyway. I'm sympathetic for poor Sam, who's like trying to help Gollum understand what's good, and Gollum's just like being a toddler.
Yeah.
I love one of my favorite things from the movie is how that sort of became a meme, because I love that chapter so much, and then everybody's like, potatoes is like everywhere now. And shout out to Sean Austin for making that awesome.
Yeah.
They did great in that scene.
It was also always my favorite scene in the radio drama. The long one with Ian Holm was always the Verbs and Seed Rabbit.
Oh, because yeah, the Gollum and Sam actors are amazing. So yeah, they really do that scene really, really well.
Sure. I don't know. Sonora, would you eat a rabbit?
No. It reminded me of my own rabbit, and I feel kind of bad.
Yeah, no, I honestly
tastes like chicken.
It's Samite.
I love rabbits, like, as animals. I've had rabbits in my life, so yeah, I could not bring myself to eat rabbits. Let's talk about what did he spice it with? What kind of spice? I've always wanted to know what he, yeah.
What kind of spices can you get out in the wilderness? I mean, there are lots.
Well, there's the scene in the movie with the salt that's kind of cute. That's only in the extended edition, right?
Yeah. But, you know, if you're not... If you're
roast
watching
chicken,
yeah,
rosemary, maybe there's rosemary around.
I think he mentions sage, so that's
yeah. He talks about the ones that he wants to find. He's like trying to go get Sneagle to get a few bay leaves, some thyme, and sage will do, you know. So it makes me think about Christmas Carol too, where it's like sage and onions. Well, okay, he says no onions, no stock.
I don't think it ever says exactly what he got as far as spices, sadly.
Yeah.
So if you want to try to replicate it, you're on your own.
No, but I always want to eat that with, like, they talk about they eat that with Limbus, and it sounds amazing. I'm like, yes, I just want some of that in my life right now.
Well, maybe he's, like, vegetarian, so I don't have to eat rabbit.
You can do chicken.
Yeah, I'll be okay with that.
I see Sonora trying to wake you up, Eden. It's your turn.
So, of other foods and places that they stopped at, I don't know how to introduce this. Anyway,
let me prompt you.
In one of my favorite chapters, the one with Bjorn, they stayed at his house and... For one thing, the animals brought them food.
That's definitely the coolest part in my
life. Bjorn had animals bring them food. It was great. Yeah. Also, Bjorn in the morning made them breakfast, and they had a lot of things with honey.
Yeah.
They had bread with honey. And then afterwards, Bjorn sent them with some food, like some nuts and stuff, and apparently a lot of honey.
And honey cakes!
There.
Well, and he has all the bees, the giant bees and stuff. Like, I guess that's part of the whole
bee. He's a bear. Thing. He likes honey.
I am going to be
a very little brain.
But I never made that connection until the second I went today here.
I was just going to say, I did not know he had. Yeah, I did not know he had that much in common with Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah, that's funny. To imagine him turning into Winnie the Pooh, a giant Winnie the Pooh.
Tearing off Gold's head as Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah, ripping orcs apart. I was gonna say that they were grateful that Bjorn made them breakfast instead of made them his breakfast.
I mean, Bilbo was concerned about that.
Yeah, before. As well, he should have been.
Yeah.
But it turns out that Bjorn is apparently kind of a vegetarian, except for goblins.
I mean, you probably want some veggies after eating some goblins.
You're like, I need to keep my diet
high in fat content.
I need some celery to clean out my teeth.
Yeah.
Okay. So honestly, I think
Beans the orange. Back on the burn, you bars.
Also, iconic.
But yeah, you know, I think the orange would be my favorite like feast thing because I like breakfast food and I like stuff with honey. So I think the honeys and cream thing would really work for me, and I'm not big into meat. But another of the like meals I would totally go to was the one at Farmer Maggot's house.
Okay, I was just finding that one, and it says beer and plenty, well, Noel, and a mighty dish of mushrooms and bacon, which sounds amazing, and other solid farmhouse fare. I'm like, who doesn't want mushrooms and bacon? Sorry, plenty.
Okay, we're putting that on the meal list next week, Nadia.
Oh yes.
But yeah, no, I really want to try whatever their mushroom stew was. I imagine it's sort of a stew dish, but the mushroom dids they sent home with them to Crick Hollow. Yeah. I you know, just wanted to know what that was like.
Fun fact, Noel named her house after Frodo's house that he got after Bag End.
Yeah, it's true. We have a sign out front saying this is Crick Hollow. It seemed kind of right for like the bachelorette pad or whatever.
That's appropriate.
Oh, so like right after Farmer Maggot Stew, going chronologically. Oh, to be fair, they probably talk about food at Crick Hollow as well. And let's be honest, they probably talk about food at Tom Bombadil's house and Bree. But the next one we have on our list is the elves that they run into. Not Glorfindel, Gildor, right? Is the other one? That they run into in the Shire sort of area. Definitely the most interesting thing.
Sorry, I was going to say that was before Farmer Maggot, honestly.
Yeah, I was trying to remember where in the timeline it fell. I knew it was in the same general area. Definitely the most interesting thing in that is the Miravor, the elf drink. I think it's described in that chapter, or is it in a later one? I feel like it was in that one. But that's another one where a description of a drink, because you don't usually get that. You get that even less often than you get descriptions of food. And it's kind of like magical and special elf food.
Yeah, I have that passage open, and just like two sentences, because it's about what Pippin remembered from it. And Pippin remembers food, which, you know, seems totally on point. But it says, "But Pippin remembered that there was bread surpassing the savor of a fair white loaf to one who is starving, and fruit sweet as wild berries and richer than the tended fruits of gardens. He drained a cup that was filled with a fragrant draught, cool as a clear fountain, golden as a summer afternoon." And I just love that because it's like, it combines different things that you can totally like feel what that would taste like to me.
Yeah. But obviously the most iconic elvish food would have to be lumbas.
Oh,
which
yeah.
For me, I don't know that I was that interested in what lumbas tasted like until like seeing them in the movie and then trying to make them at home. I always just liked Gimli trying them and then going, expecting them to be cram because Lake Town men apparently can't cook, and then being like, oh wait, this actually tastes good.
To be honest, I always thought lemvis, it's because it sounded like light to me. I thought it would have like a light, crispy texture, kind of like a macaroon. So that wouldn't travel well. I know, but that's what my imagination made it out to be. Not like, the lumbus we make at home is more like shortbread.
What if it's like that when you eat it, but when you're carrying it, it's not?
There you go, magic food.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, I think the movies, again, really nailed this with the whole, one point is enough to fill the stomach of a grown man, and then Pippin.
How many did you eat?
Another okay. One, Hobbit party. I ate too much before the cake, and I was like, I should not have done that.
Okay. In the cast commentary, just like Orlando Bloom's talking about, yeah, this is my Lumbus commercial.
I was gonna note real briefly that at Tom Bombadil's house, it says they had yellow cream and honeycomb and white bread and butter, milk, cheese, and green herbs and ripe berries. So pretty similar to Bjorn's house.
Yeah. I'm on board
cooking
with that.
Buddies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, cooking show with Tom Bombadil, Bjorn.
They're the judges. Great. They're the judges. Everyone else cooks.
And if they have like contestants on their show, Bjorn judge and Tom Bombadil's the happy judge.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Oh, you need a third judge. Who's the third judge there?
Goldberg. Well, there.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
Also,
alternately, Fatty Bulger.
Oh no!
Yeah.
Oh, perfect. But I was. I don't say, know. Bjorn gets married too. That's kind of weird. Wonder who he gets married to.
Right for fan fiction.
I was just okay. I just went back to the Crick Hollow
a while ago.
I went back to the Crick Hollow one for a second, and then Fatty Bulger's like, "I suppose you three won't want mushrooms again," said Fredgar without. Yes, we shall. Greg, come on.
What did Pippin say?
Pippin's like, "Yes, we shall." Frodo's like, give it to me by Mrs. Maggot, a queen among farmers' wives. Take your greedy hands away and
answer
them.
Are you sure you won't have any more?
Is there any more?
Okay, I do miss that aspect of Frodo from the movie that the screenwriters didn't have in, but he does sometimes have that more sense of humor there. Mm-hmm.
I do like that they at least like did the name drop of A Shortcut to Mushrooms in the movie too. That was one of my favorite parts when I was first watching it. I was like, yes, they get us, guys. So yeah, that was exciting. Yeah, so I kind of want to talk about, speaking of Pippin, actually, one of my favorite parts in food that always occurs to me, especially when I get up in the morning and eat breakfast, is when Pippin's in Gondor with Gandalf. And he gets up, and Gandalf gives him his breakfast. He's like, well, he's like, I provided all that you'll get until noon. Food is now doled out by order, because it's the siege of Gondor, so it's a siege, and Pippin doesn't like that. So Pippin looked ruefully at the small loaf, and he thought very inadequate pat of butter, which was set out for him beside a cup of thin milk. Why did you bring me here, he said. You know quite well, see. Keep you out of mischief. And I'm like, yes, I feel you, Pippin.
That's just, you know, it's amazing. Tolkien can write these passages that like just soar as far as like, you know, with any epic literature, can you imagine? And then he can write things like Pippin saying, why did you bring me here?
Yes.
Okay, let's say he said he has that passage about Pippin and his very inadequate pat of butter, and then he has that thing about Bilbo like butter scraped over too much bread. Do you think he has trauma about not having enough butter?
Butter
was also something they put on Bjorn's bread for breakfast.
Yeah, I think Tolkien likes butter.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying, everyone does. If you think about it, anything that tastes good probably has butter in it. Yeah. If you want to make a good meal, just put more butter in it.
I will say, for making Lovis, they do have butter. So
unless
it's all connected,
like,
guys.
Old and your siblings sneak it on your waffle.
Oh, yeah. Fedora has traumatic memories regarding
I
butter.
I have traumatic experiences of butter.
I remember watching your traumatic experiences of butter while eating my own stuff.
Fedora hated butter.
I hated butter. At all, and they'd always put on waffles, and I'd say I taste the butter, and they'd say, no, there's no butter. I'm like, yeah, there's butter on the waffles. So I asked for peanut butter, and a couple times, I'm not sure who it was, I think Nadia or Elizabeth would put butter on the waffles, hand them to me with chimichurri on top, and said, oh, it's not butter. I'm like, yeah, I can taste it, it's butter.
Now here's the defense. The defense from the older siblings, and Mommy, I'm sure, was also involved in this. You can't put cinnamon sugar on without something to attach it to.
I like
AKA
butter.
Oh, boy.
I remember just sitting there the entire time one of these things was happening, just eating my own butter with cinnamon sugar on a pancake.
Yeah, like the good child.
Yeah, he's sitting there thinking, drama queen.
Now she's gotten more picky than I have.
I may be a picky eater, but...
And what's funny is that she's a good child for eating butter.
I know.
That's what I'm talking about with Gollum. Like, Gollum just eats some butter. He's like, no, no, I want panty mammy.
Speaking of Gondorian food, the less desirable Gondorian food, we can't not talk about Denethor's tomato incident.
Can we never speak of it again, actually?
We should never speak of it again, but we might as well. We'll talk about it now to get over our traumatic experiences. Speaking of traumatic experiences.
Micaiah is not here on this podcast, but we have to pay him some respect for doing a fantastic Denethor impression whenever he has cherry tomatoes.
Yes! I remember watching him do that when we were filming our own parody of Lord of the Rings. I was like, what are you doing?
It put me off cherry tomatoes for a long time. Yes, yes, it did.
I never wanted to eat them because of that scene. Then I ate them the one time and I was like, nah, I'm good.
Whereas I'm one of the ones I'm like, I think I'll imitate the scene. So yeah, apparently me and Makara are on the same page there.
In other movie food, this is where I was going to reference. We have to, of course, talk about there's meat back on the menu.
Yes.
And whatever the orc draft is that they make Mary drink there, which is also mentioned in the book.
Nasty.
They sufficiently made it look bad.
Yeah,
I remember we tried to like, you know, Gandalf was giving them something when they're going over the mountains, or they're attempting to go over the mountains.
Oh, that's Miravar.
Yeah, yeah, he's giving them Miravar, and then the orcs are like, and then drink this. So like, there's a nice little contrast there.
I remember Dominic Monaghan's
medicine.
I remember Dominic Monaghan talking about what it tasted like, but I can't remember whether it was good or bad.
I think he said it was just really, really thick. It was syrupy. And they're like, gross. Yeah, they kept pouring it down. I sort of pretend vomited the second time. I don't think it was pretend or something.
I was just going to say there's a connection there, too, because have you seen that meme where they have, like, somebody's face delighted and it says, watching orcs literally cannibalize each other, and then somebody's face horrified, and they're like watching Denethor eat a tomato.
Yeah. Or like the whole petition. How it feels.
It's like, oh, the gore. Yeah, Peter Jackson, horror film director. Oh, Denethor and the tomato. No, no, no.
That's too far, guys.
Yeah. Well, and then there's a petition to make his actor, I can't remember his name,
John Noble.
John Noble apologize for that scene.
It's such a good scene, though, man. Like, I don't know. Yeah, that's obviously one of
it's
the best
really well.
My favorite part of the petition is
so awful.
He didn't have to eat it that way, but he did.
He was being in character. It was chosen.
Bothers me is like why it's so red. I'm like, I'm eating a cherry tomato. It's not like a cherry. You don't like usually.
It's not an actual cherry.
We upped the saturation a little bit.
That's my nitpick, and also like it's awful. Yes, continue.
I was gonna say we're like on the trend of the gross looking food. So, and there was like an extended scene in The Hobbit. I think it was Desolation of Smaug, but the Master of Lake Town was eating something gross for breakfast.
Oh yeah.
I saw the bonus features of that. Apparently it was just like some biscuits that the prop department figured out how to make look gross.
Yeah. Well, speaking of gross, you have to talk about the Mordor water.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
When I was talking about my favorite chapter in Lord of the Rings, that is one of the descriptions of Mordor that really stands out. Like, you can feel this when it talks about the Mordor water. The water was cool, but not icy, and it had an unpleasant taste, at once bitter and oily, or so they would have said at home. Now, of course, they you know, talk about here, seen beyond all praise and beyond all fear or prudence, so, you know, it just even gets farther how thirsty they were. But yeah, if you've ever had any bad water, like, ever, or actually, if you just had the wrong kind of flavored water, or if you've ever just straight up had that unflavored soda water, because that stuff is nasty. Yeah. Or mineral water, you probably relate. But yeah, secretly I think ill mineral water is orc water. Yeah. we got the flavored mineral water once when Nadia tried it and she wrote on it like with a skull, orc water.
I remember our dad, he was doing a thing with like giving food to poor. And we had these like flavored waters. And he took some home after we were done and he drank it. He's like, I feel so bad for these people.
Oh no. Yeah, sometimes you give out food and you're like, we shouldn't have given that out.
Well, I was also thinking the water at my dad's old house was probably mortar water.
Oh, yeah, we're not used to city water and
when we lived in Bridgeport and you were too young to remember, the water would sometimes come out like dark, dark brown and nasty. And you weren't even born yet. But yeah.
The one water fountain at our church, Thompson. Yeah. That water was notorious for being horrible, and you would only drink it if you were truly desperate.
That's just penny water.
Yeah. I will say, though, as far as mortar water, though, there's a passage even later where they talk about drinking worse water. Like, it's actually the orcs had, like, stepped through it, so they get even more desperate. Yeah.
Does anyone else think of True Grit, where he's making fun of him for saying he drank out of, like, an old, like, horse footprint?
Fire, let me text a stranger who hasn't drunk out of a horse in front.
Yeah, you feel like all the people in Gondor are making fun of people in Rohan for doing that.
when Rooster Cockburn makes fun of the Texas Rangers, is some of the best parts of that movie.
Oh gosh.
Yeah,
that was pretty great. Oh, I wanted to do one more shout out. We didn't talk about the other one that I always think about is Flotsam and Jetsam, where Pippin and Merry find all the food,
which I think is done really well in the movie. Really kind of showcases them how much fun they're having finding food.
Yes,
I love, like, they're talking about they find first rate salted pork, bacon, and like
bacon comes up a few times in Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, hey, and so does butter.
It's good travel food.
I mean, yeah, a lot of it is like salted bacon. I know. I was thinking about like Faramir gave them little pieces of meat too when they meet up with him and Azillion. So I always kind of wanted to eat like beef jerky and pretend like it was meat that was given to me by Faramir.
Yeah, I've been bit a lot. Lord of the Rings has made a lot of kids try out beef jerky. That and dried fruit. Honestly, I'd rather have the beef jerky.
That part I came across is like, Gimli and Aragorn eating, and so Merry and Pippin join them and they're like, we must keep our guests company. And Legolas is like, you're full of courtesy this morning, but maybe if we had not arrived, you would already have been keeping one another company again.
Legolas knows. So we covered a lot of things, but I was thinking there's just so many more parts of the books and movies that we haven't talked about that has food involved in it. So this is a great time for us to ask our audience what their favorite part in Lord of the Rings or The Hobbit that talks about food is. Because there are plenty more to talk about.
Oh yeah, especially if you're talking movie, there's the first scene in Bilbo's house. Because that is
I almost brought that up.
That is like so much food and it looks so good.
He eats it by the block.
That is a Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah, that...
Along with a bunch of weird relatives you don't remember.
To your house.
For all of our relatives who listen to this podcast, we're not talking about you. Except the ones that we are, and you know who you are.
You know who you are.
We are the weird relatives, okay? We're not kidding ourselves.
That's yeah.
All right, that's a good place to end, I think.
Thank you for listening to 7 Stars, 7 Siblings, and 1 White Tree, a Tolkien podcast by the Wheeler family. This episode was produced by Elizabeth and Micaiah and was edited by Quincy and Micaiah. Our associate producers are Nadia and Quincy, and our music is by purpleplanet.com. That's purple-planet.com. If you like the show, please share it with your friends, rate, review, and come back next time. And thank you for your support. This has been an Unwashed Bear production.
No. Not know that. Who is killing the microphone?
That was definitely not audio.
Did you just drop something on your computer?
Okay.
The headphone fell out of Noelle's ear.
Okay.
It was Noelle.
She was the one that was moving and moved it.
We don't have time. Okay. Keep talking.
That was what I thought. Nadia did it to Noelle. All right. So.